You're tuned into We Talk Radio Network. Talk Radio Network is the hottest online radio station heard globally. We feature the best radio shows, the most amazing hosts, and hot topic panelists. We produce and support fabulous events globally as well. We work with the most dedicated community partners, period, point blank. I started We Talk Radio Network in 2010, and guess what? 10 years later, we are still celebrating and providing the best radio shows, best special guests, the most incredible music, blogs, events, and more. We have informative shows, inspirational shows, music shows. We even have two youth shows. We invite you to be a part of the family. And you can do that by following us on all our social media platforms and by going to www.wetalkradio.com. WeTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Shine Lord Radio Show right here on We Talk Radio Network.
I was taught years ago that if you live life with the spirit of expectancy, not only would you receive a harvest, but the thing you petition God for, expect it, and it shall come to pass.
Expecting great things, I'm expecting great things. I'm using my faith and
I'm expecting great things.
What are you believing for?
More and more,
more and more,
more and more. You an adrenaline junkie? Have you ever wanted to throw an axe, try your hand at archery, or just smash a bunch of stuff to smithereens? Oh. Then come embrace the rush at Endorphin Factory, the number one demolition room in Texas. Family owned and action packed. Our factory is your playground. Blow off steam in our state-of-the-art demolition rooms. Hit bullseyes on our interactive archery targets. Or just grab an axe and start throwing. Whatever creative outlet you choose, you're sure to have a smashing good time. Come release your stress and book your next rage room experience at Endorphin Factory for the thrill of a lifetime. Book your appointment today at EndorphinFactoryUSA.com.
I just want to write you a letter. I have to be very honest with you right now. I don't really know how to say this.
I wanna believe, but I'm having a hard time seeing past what I see right now. I see you right now. I wanna be free, but when I try to fly, I realize I don't know how. No one showed me how. Wish I could see that this mess I'm in will really work out for my good. You said it would. So, if you can hear me, can you give me a sign? 'Cause I don't feel you lying. Please, if you could. My faith is almost gone. I can't hold on much longer. Take this cup from me.
But if you choose not to, please.
Help me believe. Can I believe? Let me believe.
Close my eyes, on this side, I'll wake up with you, more in love with you. And finally, you will say my race, it is over and my work is through, Jesus, 'cause I believed in you.
There'll be no sunshine, and you're too far to see.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. I want to thank y'all for joining us on this morning. Thank y'all for another wonderful day, because this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in this day. I am Pastor Jeremy Glenn at this wonderful church, Spirit of Inspiring Love Church. And we want to thank you for spending a small segment of your Sunday morning with us again. This is a wonderful day. This is a wonderful day that God has made, and we just thank God for everything that he's doing. I looked up and a year has passed. A year has passed. The exact year today is a 1 year pastoring anniversary for me. 1 year. You know, I'm going to give myself a round of applause, because I know everything that God has done in these 12 months, and a lot of learning, a lot of experiences. And I just thank God, because I am a student of him. I am a student of God, and anything that he is teaching, I want to make sure that I'm listening and paying attention and allow me to continue to grow in him. And we are going to actually talk about that on today. But I just want to thank y'all for tuning in with us on today. Thank y'all for everything. Thank you for all your prayers, all your support. And we're just, listen, we are just getting started. This was year one for me. But God knows he's got a lot in store, and we've got a lot of wonderful things that he's got in store for this ministry. I want to thank y'all. And as you've seen, I think we've got a slide up for it, but y'all have heard the news. Y'all have heard us talking about it. Okay, if you've been following us, you know, and you saw the notes that we sent out, we finally have www.soilchurch.org up and running. I've been telling y'all the website was coming. I've been telling you that it's coming, it's been coming, and now it is finally here. We've got the website up. Let's see, I don't know if we've got a template up on it, but if you don't have it right now, we can put it in the chat. It's www.soilchurch.org. It is a one-stop shop for everything. You can watch these broadcasts online. There we go. You got the broadcast online. You can give online. Basically, it is basically the centerpiece for all that we have access to right now. You can join in, you can watch, you can give. And guess what? Most importantly, if you desire and if your heart is tugging on you, if you're looking for a church home, you can actually join. Go on to the Become a Member tab. Become a Member tab. It's a really quick template. There's a link there. You just fill out the information. It'll take you all but maybe 30 seconds, and less than a minute you can join. You can become a member of this church. How about that? Thank God for technology. We want to make things easy. We want to make things as easy and simple as possible, because Jesus said, "My yoke is easy." So you can join and become a member in less than a minute with a click of a button. How about that on today? And again, and it talks about different things. I've got some things that I want to clarify on there as well. Like, can I be a member and I'm living in Japan? Can I be a member and I'm living in Toronto, Canada? Can I be a member and I'm living in South Africa? The answer to that is yes. We'll walk you through the steps, and you can join it, become part of our e-membership. Okay, you can become an e-member of this church. And we just thank God in advance for all of the people that want to team up with us to do and support the vision and the mission and everything that God has for us on today. So again, I want to thank y'all that are joining us on Facebook Live, YouTube Live, soilchurch.org, and also on We Talk Radio, where we talk, we listen, and we take action. On a more serious note, on a more heartfelt note, heart goes out to all of the families that experienced the tragedy out in the Buffalo, New York area yesterday. Sad news in that regard. But ladies and gentlemen, that is the world that we are living in. Okay, this world is an evil world. It's an evil place. All right. And we're praying for all of the families that experience the tragedy, the loss of the tragedy of the mass shootings. And let me say something about mass shootings. It's becoming a problem. It's becoming a real problem. Mass shootings here in the local Dallas-Fort Worth area. And public places, everybody just be on alert, be aware of your surroundings. And sometimes, you know, all you can do is all you can do. But let's just know this. There is an enemy that comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And we live in a world where there are lots of things that are happening right now. Mass shootings are at an all-time high, all kinds of things that are going on. So every day that you live is a blessing from God. Every day that you wake up and that you complete an official day is a blessing from God. But with all the things that are going on, and this is not my message, but I feel led to say this here. I want us to understand something. With all the things that are going on in the world that around us and all the chaotic things and things that we experience on a daily basis, all you got to do is turn on the news. There's going to be something going on around you. That's what's happening. That's what the devil wants us to see. But guess what God wants us to know? Here's what God has to say about all that. If his people, that's right, in 2 Chronicles, he says, if my people, who are his people? The people that are called by his name. Let's identify who that is. Those are the people that have confessed and believed that Jesus is Lord. They have become Christians. That means of Christ. Those people that wear the last name of God on their back, his people, that are called by his name, if they would turn from their wicked ways, if they would humble themselves, he said that is the remedy to heal this land. We've got work to do. We've got to humble ourselves. We've got to turn from our wicked ways. Okay, he will hear from us, and he will, in fact, heal the land. There is a massive healing that needs to take place in this land, and it starts with the people of God. Okay. So I want us to know that and understand that it is time for us to go to work. It is time for us to no longer be comfortable. It is time for us to move and to take a stand, because I'm going to tell you something. The enemy ain't wasting no time, and he don't take no vacations. All right. He don't take no vacations. I know that's improper grammar. I know that's a double negative, but he don't take no vacations, and we shouldn't either. Okay, we should not either. You may not always be at church all the time. You may not always be on. I'm not always on all the time. But let me tell you something. The work can still be done. The seeking can still happen. Okay, the going out in public and just smiling and doing what you can to show God among somebody that might be lost or may have evil on their mind. There's always work to be done on this land. And it is up to us as the people of God to make sure we sprinkle some salt. We are the salt of this earth, and we take full control. That is what God expects of his people, and that is, in fact, what we need to do. So I just want to thank y'all again for tuning in with us on this morning here, and we've got a special word on today. Because what I want us to understand, and as we're leading and talking about the evil minds in this world, and we're talking about all the destruction and all of the chaos and all of the things that happen on this world, what I want us to understand is we, ladies and gentlemen, have to go back to the basics. We have to go back to the basics, and we have to understand the simple process of receiving the word of God. This is where it starts. Because without the word of God, this world will continue to be evil, will continue to have chaotic things. Jesus said in this world, we will have trouble, but he overcame this world. We have to realize that, ladies and gentlemen, all of the evil has been overcome. Remember our message on Easter. It is finished. But we have to understand something, because Jesus taught it a simple way. And he taught in a way that he wanted us to understand. Because the easier we understand, the easier it is for us to go forth and to do what he needs for us to do. And he taught in a special way. And we're going to talk about that as we lead into our world, into our word on this morning. So I want to ask you a question. What comes to mind when you hear folk tales and stories and myths and legends? What do you think about when you hear about that? What do you think about when those things come up? Because maybe you're thinking about sitting around, you know, family and friends and someone is telling a great story and everybody is all tuned in. You know how that grabs our attention? I tend to think, me personally, my grandfather was a very unique person in that regard, and God rest my grandfather's soul, Melvin Jackson. He was known for getting us all around and telling a lot of great stories. We would sit around and listen to some of the old times, and we would sit around and he would have a joke or something like that. But he had a way of really grabbing attention and all of us just kind of sitting around and listening. So when I think folktale and fable and stories and all of that stuff, I go back to my grandfather and how we used to sit under the tree. Some of y'all that know back in Midland, Texas, we used to get around and we used to sit under the tree. We'd be in a den and we'd all get together and he would have something to share with all of us. And out of that, some of those things were true and some of them weren't, but we would just love to sit around and it would just be a lesson of some sort that we could either learn or we could laugh or whatever it was. We just love to be in an environment like that. We love that. And those are one of the things that we miss so much about him, because they're either going to make you laugh or they were going to make you think. But either way, it was captivating to be around him when he would tell those wonderful stories. And when I think about that, I think about the great storytellers of our life, and they would just kind of take you wherever they were going. They would literally put you in a car and strap you in and take you down this neighborhood, and you would experience that journey with them. That's what great storytellers do. Perhaps this is why Jesus taught in this thing called parables. Jesus taught in a way that he would help us to see the story and understand the story, and he would make things so simple, and he would make things so clear, that he would take the smallest and the most simplistic of things to teach a lesson. And it was captivating. They would grab your attention. They would grab your interest. And most of all, Jesus knew how to connect with us. He knew how to connect with us. And I'm going to put a note up here really quickly here about the word captivating. And as you can see up on the screen, captivating means capable of attracting and holding interest. Perhaps this is the reason why Jesus taught in a unique way called parables. They would gravitate, they would captivate, they would take you there, and they would literally take you to where he wanted you to see and connect the story that he wanted you to know and understand. Talking about parables here, let's put up another quick note, because I want us to understand. A parable is a simple story used to illustrate a moral or spiritual lesson. And today we're going to use one of the most prominent parables that Jesus taught, the parable of the soils. The parable of the soils. This is one of the very first parables and one of the main lessons that God personally spoke spoke to me on after 1 year of preaching, when he was laying this on my spirit, laying this foundation in my heart to come forth with this ministry. It was the parable of the soils that gave us the name of this church. This is why you see everything about Soil Church, because it came from this particular parable. And what I want us to understand about this parable is it's the soil and the surface, and it's where we grow in the incubator of God. I'm going to say that again. It's about the soil and the surface, and it's where we grow in the incubator of God. And that's what we're going to talk about on this morning. That's what we're going to spend time talking about on this morning, how Jesus would captivate and how Jesus would speak in terms of parables to help us to know and understand a lesson in which God would want us to understand. So here's what we're going to go on today here. We're going to talk. Our message on today is called Beneath the Surface. It is called Beneath the Surface. So on today, May 15th, 2022, on, yes, that's right, my pastoral anniversary, all right, one full year of preaching, I myself am going back to the basics that lay the foundation of this ministry, and we're going to talk about Beneath the Surface. That's right, our message on today, ladies and gentlemen, is Beneath the Surface. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for every ear that has tuned in to hear this word. You said, Lord, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing from your word, Lord. So I speak faith. I speak the growth of faith. I speak the maturity of faith. I speak new levels of faith in everyone that is listening to this word, Lord. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, because you're going to uncover some things. You're going to bother some demons. You're going to break some molds. You're going to do some amazing things through this world on today, because we need your word like never before, Lord. With everything that is going on around our lives, we need a word from you, Heavenly Father. And we thank you right now in advance for that heart that's going to be changed, for that mind that's going to be restored, for that person that's going to be edified and uplifted regardless to where they are in their life. Lord, we thank you. Because you said in your word that it is finished. And we thank you for the next level. In the name of Jesus, we love you and we thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I am so fired up and ready to go. I am ready to go. So y'all know how we do it. We have our biblical analogy, and I break the Bible down into like two halves. Okay. All right. We've got a left hand, and that left hand is represented by the Old Testament, the books of Genesis through the books of Malachi. And we know the Old Testament. Adam, where are you? Right? Moses parting the Red Sea, Joshua crossing over that same Red Sea, right? Malachi and how God is really, really, really profound in the Old Testament about the thou shall nots. Then we get into some of the prophets, Isaiah and Ezekiel. Okay. And we talk about, you know, the King David and Solomon, and we get into Proverbs. That's all found in the Old Testament. Then there's this grace period called the Gospels. We find it in the New Testament, but technically it's the grace period. This is where Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, four of the 12 disciples that followed Jesus on three dynamic years of ministry here, connect the old and the new, because what Jesus did is he represented, remember, he's the sacrificial lamb. And there was no longer a physical animal's blood that had to be shed like it was in the Old Testament, because Jesus came as the Lamb of God. And once his blood was shed, no other blood needed to be shed in order for sins to be forgiven. That's what we captivate. That's what we learn in the four Gospels. And then they connect us to the Holy Spirit's introduction. And when they all gathered around after Jesus ascended, he said, I am going to send you a helper. This is when the New Testament starts, because when Jesus leaves and he sends us the Holy Spirit, and they're all gathered together up in the upper room, and the introduction, the reintroduction, the second coming of the Holy Spirit came in the upper room, then we had access to receiving the power of the Holy Spirit. That began the New Testament. And in the New Testament, as we move on and we talk about Paul and the Pauline letters and all the churches that he planted, and then Timothy comes along, right? And then all of his little students, Timothy and Titus and all of those guys, they all followed in behind the astute ministry of Paul, because Paul broke things down. He established a church. He gave us rules and understandings, and we produced our deacons. Oh, I'm on fire this morning. And the church began to become established because Paul was a student of Jesus. And then we begin to know and understand what the New Testament is all about. And we're still living in the New Testament on today. Oh, I got to tell you some more. I got to tell you a little bit more. I'm in this whole storytelling mode right now. Then John, he gets this vision. He gets this vision about how things were going to happen in the end. And that's called the book of Revelations. and how things were going to happen in the book of Revelations, and how all the things that he saw, and he saw the resurrected Jesus, and the Bible records when he saw Jesus in this vision, that Bible says he instantly dropped to his knees, and Jesus, and we talk about how he looks and how he feels, and the second coming and the new Jerusalem coming down, and he's going to reign for 1,000 years. All of that is in the New Testament. But we're going to take a small section here, going back we're going to come from the book of Luke. And what I love about Luke, he was that disciple. He wasn't as detail oriented as Matthew. Where John is more based on love, and he was a disciple that Jesus loved, and Mark was very straight up. He was straight to the point. Luke was different. Luke was kind of like, he saw things from a totally different angle. And what we're going to do today, as we lay the foundation of our message, we're going to hear Luke's account of Jesus telling the parable of the soils. And that's where we're going to come from on today. So I want us to understand that I kind of like to give us that crash course about the Bible, because we think we get so intimidated because there are so many pages in the Bible and there's no way I can read that. Well, sometimes if we can just understand at a high level point and it makes sense to us, we can kind of get it. But we're going to dive into the root. We're going to dive into the meat and the potatoes and know what Jesus wants us to know about how he captivated and he taught by way of parables. So what I want us to understand here on this morning, and that is coming from the New Testament of the Bible, Luke's account. And Luke was one of the 12 disciples that followed Jesus for 3 years. And we're going to hear his version of the parable of the soils. Okay, so I want you to imagine Jesus. He's done some miracles. He's turned water into wine. He's laid hands on people. He's had lepers to go and dip themselves and become cleansed. And so this guy is really attracting a lot of attention. He's teaching in ways in which people have never heard the word of God be taught before. But whenever you're doing something great, here's what I want to say to us leaders out there. Whenever you're doing something great, there's always going to be some haters out there. They're going to put you in a position to twist you up. They're going to put you in a position to put you on the spot. They're going to want to put you in a position to test your knowledge. And Jesus was ready for all the scribes and the Pharisees at times. So he would say things like, "Let he who is without sin cast the first stone," and make them scratch their head. What in the world is he talking about? Hey, Jesus, who this man here is blind? Who sinned? Him or his parents? Who did this? And Jesus had simple response. Neither one. But it's not about where he is right now. It's about where he's going. Oh, and by the way, I can heal that. So these are some of the things that Jesus would do that was really shaking the foundation. So a lot of people started following him. A lot of people started following him and listening, because they never knew when the next story, when the next lesson was going to be told. He would just walk and they would follow. He would walk and they would follow. He would walk and they would follow. And one day he decided, I'm going to tell them something here. I want them to understand something. So he came to a stop and he's talking to the disciples and he's got this major crowd around him. And what I want us to understand is he taught great lessons, and from these lessons, he taught in a way in which no one had ever heard before. And he would tell us great stories in a way that we would never understand before. And most of all, Jesus knew how to connect with people. So what I want us to understand here, and connecting with people from a leadership perspective, is very important. And one of my great mentors by the name of John Maxwell, you should see his photo coming up here. One of the things that John Maxwell talks about when it comes to connecting with people, you see in the right hand corner up there, it says, for leaders to be effective, they need to connect with people. This is what Jesus mastered, how to connect with people. And what I want us to understand is, leaders, I want you to listen to me. If you don't have a way to connect with people, you're going to lose them. And you're just going for a walk because nobody is following. So if you're following and no one's, and if you're leading and no one's following, you're just going on a walk. But the key and the difference between going on a walk and people following you is, how do you connect with people? And this is what I want us to understand. Jesus had a way of connecting with people. So while on earth, Jesus, he had a special and a very unique way of connecting with people. And one of those ways was by teaching lessons by way of parables, was teaching ways by way, teaching messages by way of parables. And so what I want us to know, he wanted us to understand this parable, and he wanted us to understand his teachings because there was always a message behind everything that he taught. Okay. And as you see here, we've got a little note that we're going to put up here because to understand is the process of receiving the word of God. Okay. To understand the process, there is a process of receiving the word of God. There is a process of receiving the word of God. And we're going to spend the next couple of weeks talking about that process, because if you don't know and understand that there is a process with something as simple as receiving the word of God, you're going to miss it, and he will not be able to connect with you. A process, ladies and gentlemen, comes with steps. A process identifies what we call in the world of business and sales key indicators. What are the key indicators of understanding this process? Because a process will lead you to the path of destination, and a process is what we will come to know. It's how we grow. It's how we learn. In the world of safety, there is a thing called OSHA. Okay, OSHA is an acronym, and it is a lot of rules that are built up to give us standardized rules to help us be in the best position to be safe on job sites and buildings and everything that we do. And all OSHA is a process of a lot of different rules that we have developed to help us be as safe as possible in the workplace. There is a process in everything that you have that's going to lead you into the path of righteousness. Okay? A lot of people will tell you in the world of business, you don't start by just coming out the gates making millions. You got to start with identifying processes. You got to have a marketing strategy. You got to have a business strategy. You got to have a business plan. So everything involving growing to the next level comes from a process. Now let's read Luke's account, okay, of Jesus telling this parable to the disciples and to the massive crowds that are constantly following him to understand the process of receiving the word of God. Now I want us to read here. I've got quite a few scriptures here, and I'm not going to be before you long, but I've got quite a few scriptures here that I want us to understand here. And I am coming from Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 10. Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 10, and I am going to read here. You may see it up on the slide here, but I'm going to read this to us here. So if you can't see it all, that's okay. I'm going to read it here, and I want y'all to follow along. I'm going to read it first, then we're going to go back and break this word down. Now, Jesus is talking here in chapter 4, and it says, "And when a great multitude had gathered, and they had come to him from every city, he spoke by parable." And this is Jesus talking. "A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up, and with it, it choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop 100-fold. And when he said these things, he cried, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.' Then his disciples asked him, saying, 'What does this parable mean?'" I hear what you're saying, Jesus, but what exactly does this mean? What do you want us to understand? Jesus, being the great connector that he is, says, "To you, disciples, to you, group of 12, to you who I've handpicked, to you who I've called and got a great purpose for, to you it has been given to know my mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to the rest it is given in parables, so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand." The great connector. If there was another title I would give this message, it would be called Jesus, the Great Connector. He knew how to reach people wherever they are. And that's what I want us to understand here. So Jesus is now talking about, he identified four different types of people when it comes to receiving the word of God. And that's what we're going to talk about here quickly. He also addresses the question that one of the disciples had, which is, what does this parable mean? In other words, I heard the story, and yes, it's certainly captivating. I mean, Jesus, you got a way of delivering. Man, you're so smooth, and you're so fresh, and you're so clean with the way that you deliver. But I didn't quite connect it. What are you trying to say to us? And what I want us to understand here, even King Solomon, who's part of that bloodline of Jesus, all right, King David's son here, what he wanted us to understand, and you're going to see that slide up here, and is it all of your getting to get understanding? Because it's the understanding that it's going to connect with people. It's the understanding that's going to connect with people. Again, to our leaders out there, I want you to understand and to hear me closely. I'm going to say this again. It is the understanding that is going to allow you to connect with people. In other words, just like we say in our church, you have to meet people where they are. That person in the prison cell has to be connected with. That person that's got evil on their mind needs to be connected with. That person that's living a certain lifestyle that's not going to land them into the kingdom of heaven, we as people of God have to be able to connect with them. That's what evangelism is all about. That's what being able to evangelize is all about, because if you cannot connect with people, how can they hear and understand the word of God? So now Jesus, he was asked to further elaborate and to break this story down. And in other words, I hear what you're saying, Jesus, but what point should I extract from all of that? What's going to help me to become better, or to be an effective a deliverer of the word, or encourager, inspire? What's going to help me here? So what I want us to understand is Jesus gave him a response, because this response is what's going to connect with us. And as we say in our church here, you guys hear us say it all the time here, and we say in this church here, and you'll see that slide up, because I want us to understand it. I want us to know it. I want us to understand what we say, what the word of God means. The word of God, it speaks to us, it lives through us, and it meets us where we are. Whatever state you're in, the word of God is going to meet you. Whatever you got going on in your life, the word of God is going to meet you. Whatever situations are going on, and the heartache and pain and the misery and all these things that are going on, the word of God connects with you, and it will in fact meet you wherever you are. So wherever you are in life, the word of God will connect with you if your heart is right with God. So here's what Jesus says. He's going to now break this down further. And we're going to start with verse number 11, because Jesus wants them to get it. He says that I come that you might have life, life more abundantly, but you got to understand there is a process. I'm getting a little ahead of myself now, but there is a process of stepping into the abundant life. So here is Jesus's response to the disciple. It says, Jesus, break this thing down. Help us to know what you want us to understand and extract from that seed sowing, captivating a parable that you just taught us here. Let's go into verse number 11. And Jesus is saying, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Okay. The seed of the sower, that's the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Verse number 13 says, but the ones on the rocks are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. Oh, it was a joke. Oh, he hooped that thing. Oh my God, he got me up. I ran and did some cartwheels, and oh my God, I got joy. Oh, that was a wonderful word on today. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of temptation, it's all it takes. They fall away. That phone call they got from that person they tried to get away with, they answered it, and now they back. That thing they were trying to break away from, they couldn't say no, and then all they're back. Because when you don't have roots, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'm going to follow the Holy Spirit. When you have no roots, you have no stance. Put that in the chat. When you have no roots, you have no stance. That tree planted by the rivers of water shall not be moved because of its roots. In 14, it says, now the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, they go out and they are choked. They're choked with the cares. They're choked with the riches, and they're choked with the pleasures, and trying to be keep up with the Joneses, and trying to be big eye, and trying to impress so many folks, and got other people that are latching on to them, and so many things that are keeping them from excelling and being free in the word of God. They've got so much clutter going on around them that they get choked. And the pleasures of life, and they bring no fruit, and they bring no maturity. But verse number 15, the most important verse out of this entire parable. But the ones that fell on good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, they keep it and they bear fruit with patience, because it takes time to grow. Now, I want to know, who are those that have a noble and a good heart that will hear the word of God and bear good fruit? Is that you? Am I talking to you on today? Are you going to hear this word on today, apply this word on today, and are you going to, because of this word, produce good fruit? I want you to put into the chat here, and I need you to ask your digital neighbor, text them, email them, bug them, whatever you got to do, poke them, whatever y'all call it here nowadays, or whatever you got to do. You need to look at your digital neighbor and ask them, got fruit? Go ahead on and ask them, got fruit? What kind of fruit are you producing? Because Jesus said, you will know the tree by the fruit. You got fruit? Or do you have a bunch of cares that are choking you? Or do you have a hard heart that's refusing you from listening to the word of God? Or do you have some unforgiveness in your heart, and you got stones in your soil that's keeping the word of God from catching root? My question is, got fruit? Everywhere that you go, everything that you do, my question for you is going to be, do you have fruit? Because if you've got fruit, that answers everything that's beneath the surface. My question I want to know today, do you have fruit? What kind of fruit are you bearing? What kind of fruit is being produced from your soil? Because the kind of fruit that's coming from your tree has everything to do, again, I say, with what's coming beneath the surface. Got a slide I'm going to put up and share with you on this morning. Capital One wants to know what's in your wallet. Jesus wants to know what's in your heart. Got fruit? And if more seed from the word of God is sown into your heart, you will in fact bear good fruit. What I want us to understand, ladies and gentlemen, is there are four types of people that Jesus has identified that received the word of God, and all of us are one of the four. There ain't a fifth one. There ain't a sixth one. He said four. You will find yourself in one of the four. And so this is going to be a self-evaluation and a self-check for you to find out which one are you. What type of soil is in your life on today? And what I want us to understand here, we're going to identify what's beneath the surface, because if we don't ask the question, we won't know where our level of soil is. So what we're going to do here, as we get ready to close, we're going to put four quick ways that people receive the word of God, because once we understand this, we can know where we are, we can know where other people are, okay, we can understand this, because it's not enough for us to just go to church, it's not enough for us to just go through praise and worship, it's not enough for us to just go through the ebb and the flow and all the colloquialisms and things that we do and say in church. My question is, do you have fruit? So we're going to put up, number one, we're going to identify these here. We're going to identify and talk about these. And next week's message, we're going to talk about the process, because we have an ultimate goal. We've got a golden standard that God wants us to have when it comes to receiving the word of God. So number one, as you see the slide up here, number one out of the four ways people receive the word of God is those by the wayside. Those by the wayside. Luke 8 and 12, coming from the New King James Version of the Bible. And let me say this here before I get into that. This is a very dangerous, spiritually dangerous state of mind to be in. This, ladies and gentlemen, will keep you out of the gates of heaven. This is very serious business here. This ain't no show. This is somebody's livelihood, and somebody needs to know the danger of having a hardened heart towards the word of God. So this person here, those that are by the wayside, here's what I want us to understand here. The wayside represents people that won't even give the word a chance. And because their hearts are so hard, or they got so much hard and callous built up on the inside of them, the hardened heart cannot, will not, they won't even try to receive the word of God. What a dangerous state of mind to be in. What a dangerous life to be living, to not even give the word of God, your simple lifeline, a chance. It's like someone that's just refusing to eat. When eating is what's going to nourish you and keep you alive, you're refusing to drink. Basically, what you're saying is that you just want to just go ahead and you don't want to live. And if you don't want to live, then obviously you just want to die. Somebody right now is spiritually dying because they refuse to receive the word of God. If my people who are called by my name, is what God is saying, and we have a job to do to help soften the hardness and the calluses of people that refuse to receive the word of God. Now, what Jesus is saying here, what he wants us to understand, is if you sow a seed on the sidewalk, the seed will stay on the surface because it has nowhere to go. It's just going to stay right there at the surface level. This is why a hardened heart cannot receive the word of God. It has nowhere to go. The word is coming forth, but you're blocking it. It's like you're giving it, like you're Ezekiel Elliott, giving it the stiff arm, okay? You're just blocking it. You're refusing it. And as soon as it's sown, the enemy comes and he scoops that seed up with his broom. He comes right there. He's standing there with his broom to sweep off that seed that was sown, because he also wants to partner with you, to help you, and to team up with you to make sure you're not receiving the word of God. Just in case there was a crack in the cement or a crack in the surface, he's got his broom ready to sweep it away. You're making the devil's job too easy. And it's time for us to stop doing that as people of God. So what I want us to say, it's not the seed that's the problem. The word of God is not the problem. This is a soil problem. That's why we're talking about what's beneath the surface. When you refuse to receive the word of God, or even you can become angry at God, this is certainly something that is going on beneath the surface. That 18-year-old that went on a mass shooting spree in Buffalo, New York, had some issues going on beneath the surface. What if someone would have just been there to say, God loves you? Somewhere in his life before his heart became so hard. What if someone could have, and maybe it did, and maybe, and I'm not saying that I know the full story and everything, and maybe it did, maybe it didn't. Okay, I get all of that. But his heart was allowed to be hardened. His heart was allowed to be hardened. The cement was allowed to cure. And therefore, the hardness of the heart, there was nothing that could be done, because he completely turned off and disconnected his mindset from God. This is what I want us to understand here. The enemy, he keeps that broom in his hand so that even if the word is sown, he's just going to sweep that away just in case it had a crack that could fall in and catch root and bring forth some fruit. We got to make sure that we understand and identify that, because that is someone that has a hardened heart and they have no chance. And that's a dangerous state of mind to be in. And we have to pray for people like that. We have to be as much Jesus as we can for people like that. We have to make sure that if we recognize that and we see that, that we can find out if that person in fact has any fruit. Right. Number two is, out of the four ways that people receive the word of God, number two is those with rocks in the ground. those with rocks in the ground. You got stones in your soil. You've got a stony soil beneath your surface. People around you may see that there is some soil, but God knows beneath their surface there are some stones. Luke 8 and 13, as Jesus is talking here, he's talking about the stony heart. He's talking about that stony person, that although they have the potential to receive the fullness of the word of God, there are some stones that disrupt the growth. These are the people, ladies and gentlemen, that hear the word of God. But since it didn't catch root, the enemy still snatches it right out of their heart. He don't have to dig too deep because the stones are right there. It's snatched right out of the heart, and there are several rocks in this soil. So as soon as the word of God is being sown into the soil, the enemy comes and he pulls up the seed. The seed is a catching, and it comes into an agreement with the soil, and now roots are getting ready to spring, but then they hit a rock and they can't grow as deep as they need to grow. They can't reach as deep as they need to reach, because the deeper the root, the higher the crop. The deeper the root, the greater the strength. The deeper the root, the further we're going to go in God, but that rock is serving as a detriment. I fertilized my own lawn just a couple of weeks ago. And one thing that I noticed that next morning, I saw a flock of birds all over that lawn. I didn't turn no water on because it was supposed to rain and all that good stuff. So I was like, I want some nice, fresh rain come down and just soak in all that fertilizer I put down. Before that rain came, I happened to look out in the curtains and I saw there was this whole flock of birds just in the backyard, in the front yard. They just are chirping away. They just are eating away. And then it dawned on me, wait a minute, they are eating my seeds. They are eating what's supposed to nourish and enrich my lawn. So I had to get out there and clap my hands and do all kinds of stuff to scare them birds off, because the sower had just sown the seed and the birds wanted to instantly take away what was sown. But I had to have my eyes to be able to see what the enemy was trying to do. So therefore, I had to remove the birds away from the situation, because there was nurturing that was going to take place. Okay, there was some edifying, there was some green that was going to take place. I need my yard to look lush. I need the roots to be stimulated. I need all these things that are getting ready to happen, and I can't let the birds benefit from my sowing. Now, the birds would normally come in the yard every morning, but this time I just so happened to sow some fertilizer and all that good stuff, and I knew that they came, and not only were they going to enjoy, but they were going to take what was sown. What you have to understand, ladies and gentlemen, is you've got several rocks in your soil at times, and you're not strong enough, okay, to keep the birds from hindering your fertilizer, because you got so many stones on the inside. Okay, the Holy Spirit has given something to me, and I want you to understand that I acted as the shepherd to my yard, because I saw where the birds were serving as the predator that wanted to steal that seed. And as the shepherd, I had to go out and keep the birds away so that the word could be sown into my yard. Somebody got a word on today. This is the importance of having a shepherd in your life that can oversee the birds that want to steal your seed, that can fend off like David did, okay, keeping the beast away from the sheep. This is the importance of having a shepherd, because they can see what you don't see. They can fight off and team up with you and help you to see that. And they can be that second set of eyes to see where that wolf is trying to come and trying to trample on your ground. This is why you need to be connected with the Holy Shepherd. Okay, somebody that is sent by God that is going to allow you to be able to see when the birds need to be scattered away, when the wolves need to be fended off. David had a staff and a rod, okay? The rod would fend them off, and the staff would fend them off, and the rod would grab them back, okay? One of the two things. But this is the importance of having a shepherd. This is why you need to be connected with the church. Because my yard wasn't strong enough to keep the birds off, but the shepherd came out there and got rid of the birds. Lord just gave me that vision right there, and I wanted to share that with y'all. But what I want us to understand here, we're going to put our next slide up here on this morning here. This is why you want to grow deeper in God and remove the rocks, so you're not giving your word from God away to the birds. This ain't no Alfred Hitchcock movie. These birds don't need to be in control of nothing. You have to grow deeper in God so that you can keep the word, keep the birds away from your life. Okay, so that's the stony heart. We got to remove the stones so that the roots can grow and become everything that they need to be. All right, and then we got those here as we go into number three. Jesus talked here in Luke 8 and 14. Then he talked about those with thorns, on the ground. He talked about those that's got thorns in the ground. It's that person that's got thorns in the ground. What does that mean? The soil can be great. The seed can catch root. The cultivating can be everything that it needs to be. Oh, but when that crop grows, here comes all the thorns. What do thorns do? What do thorns represent here? They choke. They choke out the word. And what this is these are the people that want to hear the word of God. It's received and they're growing here, but you're choking in your spiritual growth. You cannot grow if you're constantly being choked. The thorns represent the things that choke the word right out of your heart, such as worries. You receive the word, but then you go right back to worrying. That was a message that I preached last year, said to turn your worry into worship, because worry represents choking the word of God in your heart. Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. Let tomorrow take care of itself. We worry about things that we have no control over. He said that, listen, cast your cares upon me because I care for you. And if you sit there and live a life filled with worry, you're going to choke the word right out of your own heart. Not only worries, but different cares and finances and other things in your life and things that other people are doing. Let me tell you something right there. Lord gave me something. Let me share something with you. You and some of us have such a good heart. We want to be everything for everybody. And sometimes we want the best for people. But you're spending your life and your time worrying when they don't have that same desire that you have for them. What am I saying? You can't out-worry someone's what they don't want. In other words, your worry cannot supersede their non-will to team up with you. You may want that person to not be a certain way, or you may not want that person to go and doing a certain thing or whatever the case. You cannot control what this person or those people do. So don't worry yourself. Don't choke God's word out of your own life because of what somebody else doesn't want. You can want it for them all day long. You can want the best for them all day long, but if they don't want it for themselves, you worrying ain't going to change the situation. So save yourself the worry, save yourself the heartache, save yourself the trouble. I feel somebody's getting free on this morning. Save yourself, because the Lord has spoken it into my spirit. You save yourself those worries, because if they don't want it for themselves, ain't a worry that you have is going to make that situation change. So don't let things like that choke the word of God out of your life. Too many of us receive the word and we get caught up with other people and their situations and all these other things. And before you know it, now you caught up in all of this. And what happened to that word that was sown? What happened to that word that spoke to you? What happened to that miracle that you saw Jesus manifest in your life? What happened to that deliverance and those chains that were broken? You let outside noise come and choke the word out of you. And therefore, you're only going to grow so far in God. Because when you get up here, here's all this cloud of choking that's just waiting to choke that word, to choke everything that you're receiving. You've got to free yourself from that. And you've got to let those things go. And you can only affect what you can affect. Things that you can't affect, you can't do anything about. Don't allow those outside noises choke that word of God out of your heart, out of your mind, and out of your spirit. Because that's that person that Jesus is talking about. You got too many thorns in your life. Got to remove those thorns. Don't allow those thorns to continue to take root. Don't allow those thorns to continue to be right there in your life. And I'm spending more time on this than anything else, because that's a lot of us. We go to church. Okay, we tune in. We hear the word. Oh, but by Thursday, we done forgot about everything, because all of these thorns have come and choked that word out. And we have to make sure that we don't allow the word of God to be choked. Okay, because what I want us to understand here, some of us here in life, we will allow that word to choke us, and then we get stuck in a rut and we wonder, why ain't we going to the next level? Why am I still where I've been for the past 30 years? Why am I not growing in God? Why am I not seeing things manifest? Because you got some choking going on. And this is what we have to make sure that we understand, that we part those ways, and that we get out of those ways, and we don't allow these things to choke us. And if you could just move past that level of choking, you will in fact see another level in God. Amen. All right. So what I want us to understand here, and I'm going to put a slide up here as I finish that point, I'm going to put one more slide up here. Okay. And what good, and I got a question for you, what good is church flow if there is no word growth? What good is church flow if there is no word growth? You need to ask God, okay, to remove those thorns if you're stuck in that rut. And you can go and do all these things here, but if you're not growing, then why are you going? If you're not growing, why are you going? You got to evaluate where you are and remove those thorns and stop allowing. And I'm going to say this here, and I know it's probably going to ruffle the feathers of some people. I get all of that. Listen here, God, I am prepared to upset and get people out of their comfort zone. That's what I do. I have a tendency to make people not continue to feel comfortable, because if you're comfortable, you're not growing. Okay, if you're comfortable, you're not going to the next level. I like to push people out of their comfort zones. That's just one of the things I like to do. Let me say something here, though. Sometimes it's family that's choking us. Yeah, I said it, and I don't take it back, and I mean it. Sometimes it is family that keeps us choked. Sometimes it's the people that you're closest to that keep you choked, and you could be growing on and doing something, another level that God wants you to do, but you've got all this choking. You got everybody pulling on you. You got everybody choking out your ability to grow in God, and you yourself have to be strong enough to push away from that. And you're not committing a sin. You're not doing anything wrong. Okay. You're not hurting anybody's feelings. You have a destiny, and God wants you to grow, but sometimes those that are closest to you are choking you. And I want that to sit. I want that to sink. And I'm going to sit here and I'm going to let that sink, because I want you to understand that sometimes it's family that chokes us. Yeah, I said it. Sometimes it's close friends that choke us. Okay. Sometimes we're so close to people that was my boy way back in the day, and this is how we do it. Well, if this is how you do it, it was way back in the day. That ain't growing. That's way back in the day. That's way back. Okay. That's way back. You're supposed to be moving forward. How did Paul say it? Paul said, forget those things which are behind and press on toward the mark. Sometimes we got to cut the root. As we're talking about fruit, sometimes we got to cut ourselves from the thing that's keeping us in growth, and a growth and being stagnant. Sometimes we got to cut those things. We got to cut those umbilical cords. We got to cut those roots. We got to remove those thorns, because we're going so far, but then they pull us back. You've been sober for 2 years, and that one person that asked you to come to that party, and you know there's going to be alcohol there, that one sip will set you back. Cut yourself away from folk that's going to keep you choked. Put that in the chat. Put that in the chat. Put that in the chat. Cut yourself away from folk that's going to keep you choked. Come on, I need to hear that. I need to see that. When I'm going back through, I need to see that new. Cut yourself away from those folks, all right? That's going to choke you from going here. Whatever I said, put it out there. I can't remember what I said, but cut yourself away from being choked. You got to do it, ladies and gentlemen. That's the only way you're going to grow. And I spent more time on this one for a reason, because some of us don't realize that people are choking us. I can't grow because I'm involved in all these other things here. I'm being stretched out a mile, but I'm only an inch deep, and I've got nowhere to go because I'm trying to be everything for everybody. I'm trying to please everybody. I'm trying to make sure these folks over here are okay. I'm trying to do this and I'm trying to do that. You can't be Jesus. You cannot be Jesus. You got to leave that to him. And sometimes you just got to leave folk with God. Sometimes you got to say, what you're carrying is too heavy for me to carry. I got to free myself and give you to God, because you're choking me. And I cannot grow and be everything that God needs for me to be because you're choking me. Holy Spirit is speaking to somebody right here, because I didn't know I was going to stay here this long. Some of us need to remove the thorns out of our lives. Thorns are sharp and they hurt. Thorns are not meant to be pleasing. Thorns are meant to keep things away. That person that's choking you is keeping your growth away. It's keeping other people that could build new, good, solid relationships away from you. Those thorns are thinning all your growth away from you. Roses are beautiful and they're delicate. And you don't just walk up to a rose and pick it. You got to cut it off. You got to be careful. You got to do all those things because roses are sending a message, not just anybody. I don't want anybody to touch me. I don't want anybody to touch me. Okay, listen, here's what I want you to understand. Thorns will make people not want to pick that rose. Yeah, it's beautiful, but I ain't going to touch it because they see all these thorns that are around you. You're beautiful on top. You got beautiful petals, but I ain't going to touch you because you got too many thorns, or it's a turnoff. It's a signal. I'm not getting too close to that person. And somebody may be coming to want to bless you. Somebody may be wanting to take you to the next level. Somebody may be wanting to promote you. Somebody may be wanting to help you advance to that next level, but they see all these thorns that are around you. And they ain't going to have nothing to do with that because they don't want to get pricked by the thorn. You got to remove those thorns because on the other side could be that next level of miracle that you're waiting on. Oh, I'm trying to move on for this, but the Holy Spirit has got me planted right now. Some of y'all need to remove the thorns out of your lives. And don't you apologize for moving those thorns. Jesus said to be free. He said that my yoke is easy. He said that he's got plans for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you. So if his plans are not to harm you, then why do you think thorns are okay? Remove those thorns out of your life. Somebody got a word on today. Remove the thorns out of your life and you will see God in another level. You're only growing right here. You remove those thorns. God is telling you he's going to take you to another level. Amen. And amen. All right. Here's what I want us to understand here. We've got one last person, one last type that receives the word of God. One of the most important ones, as I get ready to close here, those that receive the word of God on good ground, as you see in Luke 8 and 15, you receive that word on good ground. Now, what I want us to understand here about this one, ladies and gentlemen, is this is the golden standard of where we all want to be. This right here is where growth happens. When we remove the thorns, when we get rid of the stones and we soften our heart, this is the golden standard and where God wants us to be. This is where people, first of all, they have a heart to hear the word of God. You hungry. You're tuning in because you want God to feed you. You've got the right hunger. You've got the right attitude. And God is so pleased and he is so wonderful because you're after his own heart. What's in the heart? You're after his own heart. They accept the real, honest, and noble truth from the word is what Jesus said. The real, honest, and noble truth from the word. Yeah, it hurts, but you know what? It was good. It was a good hurt. It needed to hurt me. Okay, somebody over there, maybe you're a thorn, and that didn't feel good to hear me call you out. Yeah, move yourself and get out of that person's way and let them grow. Stop being a thorn. Stop being a thorn to that person in their life. Let them be free and let them grow. And I'm not speaking to you. I'm speaking to that enemy that's on the inside of you. And I won't say, no, I ain't playing around with him. I'm not messing around with his demons. We have growth to do. Okay, there are people out there with evil on their mind, and we got jobs to do, and we have to grow in God and be strong enough to do what God needs for us to do. And a few thorns are keeping us from turning from our wicked ways, okay, from humbling ourselves so that God can heal the land. Yeah, thorn, you got to get out the way. But these are the people here that will grow and they accept an honest and noble truth from the word of God. They receive the word. Here's the word: with the intention to cultivate, with the intention to grow, with the intention to receive the word of God. And they will grow in the word of God like never before. And they will, in fact, experience abundant life. I don't know about you, but somebody out there wants to experience abundant life. I don't know about you, but I know that I want to receive everything that God has for me. And if all I got to do is position myself to receive the word of God and have a soft heart to receive his word, and I can be honest about where I am in my life with God, I can experience the growth and experience abundant life. Here's what I want you to understand. We have soil in our lives, and that soil is what Jesus is talking about. Which soil are you? When the soil test is done, and I talked about this last year, about having some soil deficiencies in our hearts, that unforgiveness, that person that you don't want to speak to, that person that you don't want to love, that person that you don't want to have forgiveness for, that person that you just want to hold on grudges to, and all that kind of stuff. Those, ladies and gentlemen, are what we call soil deficiencies. When the soil test is done, it will identify where those deficiencies are if the soil is not healthy. Okay, so when you know that the soil is not healthy, because you said, Lord, I want you to search my heart, find anything that's not like you, search it out, pull it out of me, okay? He's going to do that soil test for you in your life. But you got to accept it. You got to be honest about it. You can't sweep it under the rug, and because it feels good to have unforgiveness, you better get out of the way because you're holding yourself back. When those stones and those rocks are removed, the word can now catch root. And you can grow to a level in which you've never seen, where eyes have not seen and ears have not heard those wonderful things that God has for those who love him. What kind of life do you think you can have with healthy soil? What kind of experiences do you think you can experience with receiving the word of God with a pure heart? What kind of life do you think you can experience when Jesus said, I come to not give you life, but life more abundantly, but all you have to do is receive it with a good and wonderful heart. The word of God has a chance to grow in that heart. The word of God has a chance to catch root like it should. The word of God has a chance to take you to levels that no one has ever seen before. And the word of God can free you from all bondage. The word of God is what we need on today more than ever before. And this is why God has me right here today talking about, we have to understand and identify, where are we? Where's our stance? Who are we? Once we know who we are, we can identify who we are. And now we know, okay, Lord, I got some stones. I've got some thorns. My heart is super hard. And now we can work on those things because now they've been exposed. Now we can see that. And now we can be honest with ourselves about where we are. And as I get ready to close on today, this right here should be the golden standard of all believers. Having good soil, good ground to receive the word of God. Not focused on what them folk are wearing over there. Not focused on what them folk doing over there. Not focused on somebody coming in and doing all that stuff. Get rid of the thorns of your own mind and put yourself in position for transition to go to where God wants you to go in your life, and have the good ground mind and receive the word on good ground. Your standard is to have good ground. So take action to cultivate your heart, to position yourself to receive the word of God on good ground. As I close, and I'm almost done. I know it's my third closing. That's all right. Third time is a charm. I'm closing. Just hang on in there. It's not that the word, ladies and gentlemen, doesn't work. The enemy wants you to think that because he wants you to give up on God. He wants you to keep trying, and well, you know what? I've tried it. Guess what? I'm done. This is too hard. It's too much, and it's too this, and it's too that, and all that. He will help you to give up on God. He will make you want to give up on God. That's what he did to Eve. God just don't want you to be like him. All you got to do is taste this fruit. That's what he'll do. He wants you to give up on God so he can turn you against God. And that's been the downfall of man since Adam bit the forbidden fruit. Same old tricks, same old devil. Different day, different time, but it's the same thing. And he wants you to give up on God and not think that the word works. But in fact, it's really the soil. It's the soil. He bothered Eve's soil of curiosity, made her think that she was missing out on something. And when she let Adam follow, which that's a problem in itself, because if Adam would have had strong soil, he would have stood against that and said, uh-uh. But what I want us to know and understand on today here, it's not a word problem, it's a soil problem. It's our hearts. It's our mind. It's the way we think. It's the thorns. It's the stones. It's all of those things, because that word will not return unto God void, but it's up to you to receive it and allow it to grow. So I want to give you, and I want you to give yourself an honest evaluation about which one are you and how do you receive the word. Somebody's on here now just clicking on just because. But then somebody else is saying, I needed this on today, and I want to take this, and I want to grow, and I'm going to watch this again. I'm going to replay this again. I'm going to like this page. I'm going to share it. I'm going to put things in the comment. I'm going to allow God to massage my heart. I'm going to do all of those things because I am trying my best to grow in God. I'm doing everything I can to grow in his word. Somebody, this is a show or just something to do on social media. Somebody said, my life depended on this. Who are you? Got fruit? Got thorns? got stones, got a hardened heart. Who are you? He asked Adam, where are you? Jesus is asking, who are you? God asked Adam, where are you? Jesus is asking, who are you? This is why we had a message a while back. You are who he says you are, but you got to know who you are. You got to know how to respond to his word. I'm trying to stop, but the Holy Spirit is speaking to somebody on this morning. Give yourself an honest evaluation about the way that you receive the word. And I want you to spend this time this week evaluating who you are, evaluating where you are. And what I want us to do is you got to make sure that you're positioning yourself to get to the good ground level. So here's what we're going to do for next week. We're going to conclude this message. We got a part two. Because we talked about identifying the four different types of people that received the word. But next week, we're going to talk about the process of how to get to the golden standard of receiving the word of God. So next week, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about part two of Beneath the Surface. And I want you to know and understand we're going to have an awesome way to understand the process of getting to the golden standard of receiving the word of God. Why is that? So that we can live and experience abundant life. Amen? Amen. Somebody right now, you got bothered. Enemies, the enemy and his demons, they got shaken up. And they're stirring a pot. And you yourself, you want to free yourself from some thorns. You want to be free. You don't have the strength to remove rock, but I know somebody that can do it. And I want to introduce him to you today. I want you to understand that Jesus loves you. And this word is not to make anybody feel bad about maybe wherever you are. This is a call to action. And sometimes it has to hurt. It has to bother. It has a sting. Because if everything was cupcake and icing, there wouldn't be any broccoli, wouldn't be any growth, there wouldn't be any nutrients. We have to take it all, ladies and gentlemen. That's called the real truth, the full real truth of God, the full and wholesome truth of God. And some of these things and some of these lessons don't feel very good, but they're necessary. Some shots and some dental procedures and some procedures that we have don't feel very good, but they're necessary. If you got back pain, it's going to take more pain to get your back in position when you go see a chiropractor. But it's all a part of resetting you. It's all a part of getting you straight and your posture back right and getting rid of that back pain and all of that. Okay, when your muscles are sore, it takes stretching for them to get out of soreness. Stretching doesn't feel good, but it's part of the process. This word is going to stretch you. It's going to move you out of your comfort zone. It's going to grow you into the next level, but somebody needs to know who the stretcher is. Somebody needs to know who the chiropractor is. Somebody needs to know, who is this man Jesus that's going to check out my soil and give me that soil test? Whoever you are, I want to pray with you right now, because I don't want to close this out without giving you an opportunity to join Jesus. Before you join this church, or before you join anybody's church, before you join anything, you first need to join him. And I just want to pray with you. Lord, somebody got free on today. It didn't feel very good, but somebody got free on today. Somebody's going to remember this word Tuesday. Somebody's going to remember this word Thursday. They're going to remember that. Somebody's got to identify, well, you know what? I've got some thorns, and I've got to be strong to remove those thorns in my life. But I can't do it without you, Jesus, and I need you in my life. And that person out there that's got that hard heart, Heavenly Father, just as you were in control of Pharaoh's heart, be in control of that man's heart. Be in control of that woman's heart. Whoever has that hard heart on today, whoever you are, whatever you are, the word of God will meet you wherever you are. Because the word of God is sharp. It penetrates. It's sharper. It's stronger. It's powerful than any double-edged sword. And nothing is too hard for you, Lord Jesus. I just pray, Lord, that you renew that person's mind and their strength, and that they come running back to you like the prodigal son did, because your arms are open. Your arms are open. Your arms were stretched wide on the cross. Your arms were open wide when the prodigal son came back. Lord, wrap your loving arms around, because in this day they shall join you in paradise, because you said, forgive them, for they know not what they do, Lord. Help them to know, Lord Jesus, that if they confess and believe, their sins are forgiven and that they are saved and they can receive this word on good ground. So whoever you are on today, I want you to say something with me. Say, Lord Jesus, Forgive me of my sins. Soften my heart. Remove the stones from my life. And help me to remove all the thorns so I can receive your word on good ground. I believe that you died and that you rose on the third day with all of the power and with all of the glory. Accept me into your life. I'm yours. And if that's you, I just want to congratulate you and thank you for joining Jesus First, for joining Jesus. And I want to thank you for just spending your time. And I know this was a tough word. Sometimes the word has to be tough, but I just want to thank you for taking that step. You've taken the next step. And now he's saying, now, okay, now you got to grow. Now you have to grow. You've taken that step. Now it is time to grow. How do we grow? We grow with a shepherd. We grow with a coach, with a mentor. We grow with somebody that's going to help see the birds trying to take the fertilizer and the seeds out of the yard. You need a shepherd. You need a coach. And if that is you and you want a church home and you want to join this church on today, I am so proud to be able to say all you have to do is go to www.soilchurch.org and you can click become a member. You want to join with this group, this community, this body of believers, and you've got some talents. You've got some things that we can work with you on, and you can bring that into the storehouse. And I want to thank you for it. But first, I am dedicated to helping you to grow in your walk with God. Whoever you are, wherever you are, I would love to partner with you. I would love to be your pastor. I don't care who you are, what you've done, what you think, whatever the case, that's none of my business because I'm too focused on God's business. And I want to help you become focused on God's business as well. All right. So I just want to thank you for that. Thank you for giving your life to him. And again, if you need anything, whether it be you want to text me on Facebook or whatever that is, you got my information. You know how to reach me. You can get more information on our website. But I am interested in you becoming everything that God wants for you to become. All right. So here's now a time that everybody can participate in. That's right. It's offering time all over the world. Okay. It is offering time right now. You have an opportunity to be a part of this. You have an opportunity to be a part of something special. Giving is service. You can serve. How can I serve right now? You're online right now. Yeah, we're online right now, but here's what you can do. You can give. Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. Okay. He will have men given unto your bosoms. If you want to receive everything that God has, give. The more you have, okay, the more you give, the more you receive. It's really that simple. Okay. That's the way God operates. And God has multiplication. He has math that we just can't even comprehend, because he will take something as small as a mustard seed and grow it into something great. Okay. He can do those things, but that's God. That's what he'll do. But you've got to give. Okay. 2 Corinthians 2:19 says this service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God, supplying, overflowing. That all comes from giving. And I want you to understand, we've got a few ways for us to give here. You've got the Givelify app. Okay, go on to Givelify. You can scan the QR code. Okay, you can pull it up. Go on to Givelify, Soil Church. Spirit of Inspiring Love Church. Then you can give via Zelle. Okay, go on to the Zelle app. Download the Zelle app, info.soilchurch@gmail.com. And then you can give old school. I got folks sending us cashier's check old school. How about that, right? P.O. Box 180972, Arlington, Texas, 76096. You got three ways to give. We got more ways coming. We got other things coming. And you can go on our website and do it all. You can literally watch this message. You can give. You can interact with the community. You can do all of those things at www.soilchurch.org. That's right. www.soilchurch.org. Put it up there, Eric. www.soilchurch.org. You can do it all. It's a one. Thank you, sir. One stop shop for everything. We're going to have merchandise coming very soon. You'll be able to go on, get your mug, a t-shirt, all kinds of things. For our new members, we got We got t-shirts coming your way. Those that are joining, we've got a wonderful thing here. We got programs and things that we're getting ready to get started. Okay. We've got things we're going to do this summer. I am so excited about everything that God is doing through this ministry. And I am so super proud of where we have come, and we're just scratching the surface. Ladies and gentlemen, the Dallas-Fort Worth area, we've got a lot of wonderful major churches around here, and I love them all. But when God says he's doing a new thing, he is doing a new thing. And I am so super excited for the new thing that he is doing. So again, if you want to join us, you can go into soilchurch.org, become a member. There's a tab for become a member. And we'd love to have you join our team. And most of all, from the bottom of my sincere heart, I would absolutely love to team and partner with you and become your pastor. All right. So, hey, listen here. Thank you for tuning in with us here. We're going to close out on today here. And I am just so super excited. And I am so excited for everything that God is doing. I'm looking at some of the comments right now. Amen. I needed this word. Thank you, Shamika, so much here. I'm just going to go through, Uncle Bo here, Sam Hughes, the yoke has been broken. Amen. Listen here. Let's just go around here. I can see y'all. Let's see here. Cut yourself away from being church. You better go on and preach. Look at you preaching that word right there. Look at that. Good morning. Praise God. It is always a great morning that we wake up and see God. I love your comments. They inspire me. Let's let iron continue to sharpen iron. Let's continue to sharpen each other and go out and make disciples of all men, of all women, of all boys, and of all girls. All right. So thank you so much, your Heavenly Father. This was a rich word. Lord, it stung in some areas and it needed to. And we thank you because we need a good word right now that's going to help us to propel to the next level in what you have for us, Lord. Lord, I pray that somebody got it. Somebody got it. Somebody was free. The enemy got exposed in some areas of some people's lives. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for the freedom. Thank you in Jesus' name for all that you're doing. Thank you for your wonderful word. Bring us back next week, Lord. Protect us from danger, seen and unseen, and from hurt, harm, and danger, Lord. And just renew our mind, renew our strength, and help us to walk in love, to be love, to speak love, and to just be the love that you need for us to be as we are inspired by the spirit of inspiring church, inspiring love church, love and inspiration. I'm just so tongue tied right now because I'm thinking about everything that you're doing. So Lord Jesus, I thank you for everybody that tuned in on this morning. Those that will watch later, those that will tune in at 6, those that listen to this a year from now, months from now, whatever the case, thank you, Lord Jesus, for just saving someone, restoring someone, and helping them to see and understand that they can receive the word on good ground. In Jesus' name, we love you and we thank you. Amen. All right, I want to thank y'all for joining us. Thank y'all on We Talk Radio. Thank y'all on Facebook, YouTube, soilchurch.org. I want to thank all of y'all for your time. Have a fantastic Sunday. We'll be back next Sunday, 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. And as I always say, don't meet me there, beat me there for part 2, What's Beneath the Surface. Have a fantastic day, folks. Take care.
But hold on, better days are coming. It can be rough in this world. I know it ain't easy, but hang on in there. I know better days are coming. You sing good. But just remember that better days are coming. Friends will leave you all by yourself, but don't cry, 'cause better days are coming.
Having the newest styles and latest merchandise is an important part of your day. That's why you must check out the new online store for We Talk Radio Network. From the best quality t-shirts and hoodies to leggings and oversized blankets, we've got you covered. We even have merch for all the youth. Check us out at wetalkradio.com/shop. And while you're there, pick up an advertising package for your business or your next big project. We can customize a marketing package just for you to get your business in front of your neighbors. Go to wetalkradio.com/shop and shop.
Times are different today. Things are happening that have never happened before in the history of our world. And out of all the chaos that we're seeing and that we're experiencing, we need the word of God like never before. We need the word of God like we've never needed the word of God before. And I'm asking you to come grow with us in the soil, to receive good sound, biblical teachings that answer and speak to where we are on today. This is Pastor Jeremy J. Glenn of Spirit of Inspiring Love Church. We call it the Soil Church. And I want to see you come grow with us in the soil. You can follow us on Facebook at Spirit of Inspiring Love Church. Follow us on YouTube, Spirit of Inspiring Love Church. And as always, we'll be right here on We Talk Radio's Shine Lord Station, 10 a.m. every Sunday, and you can follow us there. But you have many multiple ways to follow us to grow with us in the soil. So come join me and allow God to speak to your spirit so that we can understand what God needs for us to do in such a time as this. So again, come join me, Jeremy J. Glenn, Senior Pastor of Spirit of Inspiring Love Church. And I'm looking for you to not meet me there, but beat me there as we grow in the soil of the love of God. Don't meet me there, meet me there.
We Talk Radio Network is the fastest growing online talk and music radio station broadcasting the highest quality shows available on the web. We talk, we listen, we take action, using our unique services to inform, inspire, entertain, educate, and connect our diverse audience to the global marketplace. Over 15 radio personalities make up the 11 shows that broadcast to over 100,000 listeners around the globe. Currently streaming on WeTalkRadio.com, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and more. Offering a wide variety of shows and services, We Talk Radio has something for everyone. Tune in, follow us on social media, or visit our website at www.WeTalkRadio.com.